bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the brand new photo show from the British Tech Network. This is our first show on the new system. So let's celebrate!
Hey! Oh, he's got oh, good lad!
Look at that! I brought Union Jackson as well. Look.
I brought nothing.
Oh yeah!
I feel good.
Now I've got crap away with my keyboard and everything. Fantastic!
Well, it beats the stuff that's normally on it.
As you can hear, I'm not alone. However, joining me this week, we have a Titanic trio of talent. There you go. Starting out with the ever popular Mr. Ewan Rankin. How are you doing?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, fine, thanks, mate. You sound very Andrew Sachs there. Not Andrew Sachs. What was the guy that used to do the old time musical thing?
Oh, God, that's before my time.
Yeah, he was all about the... no, you're not, because he's the same age as me. It was all about the... He did the alliteration thing, didn't he?
Oh.
Chat room, come on. Yeah. Indubitably and all that kind of stuff.
I can't do that one. Indubitably.
Good week. Fine. Tired. Ready for Friday.
Cool. Also joining us, we have Mr. Alex G-Man Fox. How you doing, Alex? How's your week been?
It's been all right. I haven't done a lot. But that's just the way of the world at the moment.
Concrete lately?
Oh, yeah. I've been laying concrete, but that's really not what I do for a living. It might end up being what I do for a living, but at the moment, it's not.
Oh, dear. And unfortunately, this week, Chris is away travelling at the moment, but we have a replacement for him. We have our very own tech girl, the delightful, delicious, dazzling Missy. How are you doing?
Well, hello, everybody. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for letting me fill in for Chris. I'll try to have as much wisdom when it comes to photo stuff as Mr. Chris Forsman. I don't know that I can, but whatever I don't know, I'll just make up.
Don't undersell yourself, girl. Mm. We only have him on here as ballast.
I hope he doesn't listen to that.
No, you won't. He doesn't listen to this.
I don't even know what he said.
Right. Well, starting off, first of all, I'd like to start off with thanking everyone that came to the photo walk last Saturday in London, Camden, organised or led by Paul Cacao. Me and Ewan was joined by Tina, Rachel, Darren, Matt, Steve, Andy, Betsy, David, Graham and Mark, and we all traipsed around. I'm sorry if I left anyone out, by the way, because that's just my brain.
Wasn't Missy there?
No, she was not there. I saw a picture as well.
I saw a picture that you were there. You were stood next to me.
I snuck in at the end. I kind of missed most of the walk, but I was so upset that I couldn't be at this photo walk.
The walk was most of it. I was knackered. I'm an old fat man with bad knees. I really enjoyed the day.
Well, yeah. So I did. I had to do some creative artwork to get myself in that photo walk picture. I was wearing pants in that one.
Damn.
Felt it only right. You know, they're strangers to me. And, you know, London might not be ready.
Are there a lot of pictures of you with no pants on?
Hmm?
Are there any pictures of you kicking around on the net with no pants on?
Oh, you and Rankin, I would never tell you that because really the joy is in the journey, right?
Okay.
You would have to find that out on your own.
I'm going to do a Google search, and if I find them, we're going to show them. There we go.
Yeah, put that on my page. That would be great.
Missy without pants. Is that what the MW stands for? Missy with...
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Our
and I'm the one that's running. Yeah, no... No, that's not what it means. But, you know, feel free to come up with other clever.
Now, I've got Google search on moderate. Do I need to take it off for this search?
What do you think, Ewan? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's no pictures of you coming out, unfortunately.
Maybe with the British flag behind me. I just did a little something special for the British tech debut.
You're going to wear some British pants to the bash.
I know. I want to go to the bash. I want to go to the bash so bad because
Teresa's Hummel's coming from Boston.
I heard that. And you know what? You're roasting a pig, right?
Oh, yeah. There'll be bacon. Bacon sprinkles at the and more bacon and glitter and bacon.
You know, I don't need more than that.
It's a perfect storm of bacon.
A perfect storm. It's a perfect storm of pork.
Bacon meets pork.
Oh. The Bagel Tech boys and pork.
Well, not anymore.
No, we're not bagel. We're British.
That's true. But you know, you're in my British. Heart, you'll always be those fabulous Bagel Tech boys. No one can take that away from me.
Yeah, but you're British now.
Oh, yeah. So we have to make you an honorary Brit for today.
You're the Missy.
Oh, my gosh.
You're the Missy show on the British Tech Network.
That's bloody jolly good. I'm going to throw some British terms in there, and I hope I don't get in trouble.
The British Pork Network. Thank you. Cheers, Steve. That's exactly what we need.
Oh, yes. Dear.
You wouldn't be able to search for that on a moderate tag, would you?
Pork Tech.
Pork.
Back to the photo show.
Yeah, I was about to say. Anyway, so we had a great time down in London. I've shot loads of video. There's loads of photos up there on the Flickr site. If you go and have a look, you can check out and see what people shot. And I'm going to put together a small little film and stick it up on our Facebook page, by the way.
Better be flattering.
Yes. Well, not of you, but everyone else it will be.
Thanks, mate.
That's right. We'll be doing another one in about a month's time, so keep an eye out for that, and I'm sure we'll pass on the details. And you can all come along and join us again. So should we get on to some news?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, the first one. Apparently, there is a brand new site called the Photo System over in the States, which is really firing up the US photographic forums. It's a 10-step program. 10-step program that details how anyone can set up a business to becoming a wedding photographer. And judging by the graphics on the website, It's a system that Mother Teresa herself would have used.
Yes.
They have such great tips that make, for example, make friends with other photographers so you can borrow their kit. The clients that you'll go to photograph at the wedding, they want you. It's not so much about what you shoot, it's about you, how you present yourself, because obviously you're the most important one at the wedding. Just take hundreds of shots, spray the event in shots, and just pray you get something good to use. And then when you get them back home, no more than 2 hours spent editing them. Just because the bride's maybe spent 2 years, but you need just spend 2 hours. That's enough to get the best from your collection of the day. And this last one, set your camera to pee. I could have sworn I've heard that somewhere before.
Yes, you have, Carl Madden. You have so heard that. This is, hold on, I need to get ready for this one. I am ready. This is, this system was actually developed by a group here in the States called the Showeteers. Showeteers, and it kind of reminds me of Mouseketeers, and the
Imagineers.
So whenever I talk about this fantastic program, I have to put my ears on. I just feel a little closer to the Showeteers when I do. And it is a 10-step program. 10 steps. I think all good things in life have 10 steps. I have my own program. It has 3, but we won't get into that right now. And when I saw the set your camera dial to pee.
Well, you patent that?
Did I what?
Didn't you patent that? Patent it. Shouldn't.
With a P.
Shouldn't. Should be.
You're so British. Patent it. I was like, what is patent? Is that like a Nixon thing? Did I? No, I didn't patent that. And I'm sure that there are others before me who believe that. But there is so much from, I think the first time that I was on this show, I talked about the law of averages, and I just fill up an 8-gig card to get 20 good ones when I shoot. And that's real. I didn't come up with the clever spray and pray, but it's everything, the photo system, boys, is everything that I believe. It's everything from the second step that says, you know what, a lot of people try to be the best, but step number two says, you're good enough. Darn it, you're good enough. Right now, you're good enough. You set your camera to pee. You just take a bunch, you spray and pray. And there's Mother Teresa. And as I pointed out, if you look on the wall behind me, which hold on just a minute. Ah, I hope that didn't go too low when I moved back. I have a picture of Jesus on my wall that hangs there all the time. So when I saw Mother Teresa, I saw all these tips. It was almost like I found a soulmate in the Show of Tears and the gentleman who created this. It is so wonderful. And not just that, but what's really great about it is that they will tell you, you need a website. And then the very next page, now hold on, this is so clever and took a lot of time, because the very next page is a place where you can go and buy a website from them.
It's uncanny.
It is, I don't even know. There's a step where you don't sell pictures, you just upload them to the internet. And then the very next page is a place where you can go sign up for their system to put it on the internet. Do you see how that's working?
That's inspired.
Fabulous. Inspired.
What do you guys think? I mean, this is it. This is the way to go.
Ewan and Alex, what do you think? What do you think of what we Yanks came up with?
There's a word that rhymes with Yanks that I'm thinking of.
I'm in shock.
But I've got to say, if this boy is selling this on the basis of Christianity, based on some of the things he's talking about doing to destroy other people's businesses, I'm an atheist through and through. The fact that he's got Mother Teresa on this website, I could see this boy burning in hell and making the devil's tea for all eternity, and I would gladly pay the fare. What a cock.
Oh, what a cock. Can I say... I can say that here because it doesn't mean the same thing as it does in
well,
the States.
Well, I just find it ironic that he's talking about giving away your stuff to free to destroy the local photography business so that you can then command it. I think that's vaguely illegal, but also... the fact that he's charging for his services and charging for the websites, there's an awful lot of double standards here. And the fact that he's then gone and used religion to try and sell it to people means that he really is as low on the human scale as this gets.
Ewan. Well, but there's Mother Teresa on his website. You know, I think if you're worried about what people think about you, you just put an iconic religious figure that's dear to you. And I think that kind of speaks volumes about the person you are.
I think we're agreeing there, aren't we?
But Ewan, hang on a minute, Ewan, as well, because there's one other small point as well. It says that professional photographers will not like to hear this system and you're to be ignored.
Ewan, you're one of those old school photographers. You're one of those. In fact, it says on the website that the old school or old photographers, they're so bogged down in shooting in manual that people really shouldn't listen to them. And, you know, my hand to God, have I not been saying that since video one, since you met me in December? And I'm a little, the only criticism, and I've been saying this, the only criticism that I have of this fabulous 10-step program is that I have not gotten a thank you for it.
Because you started it.
And I just want to say that there's a few things that I've not said, but by and large, I think you might be being a little harsh on him. I mean, I really think it's about the sharing and the love, and that's what this 10 steps says to me.
I would like the four horsemen of the apocalypse to get their horses to crap on his lawn, please. I'm sorry. Alex, maybe you feel different because I know Mother Teresa's not one of your big religious icons.
No, I'm more of a devil worshipper myself. I find it interesting. On the same page of Mother Teresa, they... they are equating a painting by a five-year-old child with to say it's got the same artistic content of the world-famous artist Pablo Picasso. Now, you might not be into Picasso, but you probably realise that people that understand art would probably appreciate that as much as a five-year-old's painting can be really nice and you can put it on your fridge, I don't think it's going to go for $50 to $60 to $70 million. So, or pounds even. So I think somewhere along the line, they're slightly, maybe they're being misunderstood by me, but I think somewhere along the lines, their sense of humour may have spilled over into offensiveness. But what do I know? I'm a so-called professional photographer. So as they've said, please don't listen to me. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take it seriously, and I definitely, I agree wholeheartedly with everything Missy says, because Missy says it with a smile and with the best intentions and love for everybody she meets. I can't honestly say that these people have got the same belief in their heart at the same time.
I think that's exactly it, mate. I think the difference is that Missy and I would quite happily stand head to head and take two pictures and let the customer decide which one they thought was by far the better and pay the value thereof. But these guys are a bunch of cowards who are going to hold a one-day seminar, take people's money, $1,500. What does $1,500 get you, Missy?
It gets you a website.
One website and one day.
One day done.
You get a seminar that, I mean, normally, like, really good speakers would charge a company for one day $1,500 to put 30 people in the front of them. So these guys are charging 30 people $1,500 each to sit in front of them to one day. There's a logic missing there, I'm afraid, and I think that's where it all falls down. Why pay attention to detail when you can just churn out crap?
But you know what? This is ripping through like wildfire through the professional photography forums and workshops on Facebook. We have been all abuzz about it, and so it's really big news here, because I think, as the gentleman who created this said, you know, it's a defining moment in history. And this had the biggest launch, or no, I'm sorry, because he put out a video and he said it was the most successful launch, really, of anything.
He said his launch.
Yes, of anything. And I believe it, because why wouldn't I? I'm sure he knows there's a way to, you know, qualify that statement. It's the biggest launch of anything. Hold on, my ears are falling off. It's so excited. So I just think he you know, he was kind of sitting on a stool with all of, I think it's Santa Barbara behind him, real fancy, like on a hill, like Mount Olympus. Mm-hmm. And so I don't find any reason not to believe everything he's saying. He's making it accessible to the masses. So anyone, just like I've said, guys, any mom, kid, dad can just pick up a camera, take your Canon Rebel out of the box, declare yourself a professional day one, because you are good enough. And if that doesn't make you feel good.
No, I mean, I've said all along, if you take a picture and someone pays you for that picture, you're a professional.
Okay, but wait, Ewan, I bake cookies, and I've had a couple friends, I bake some for their parties because I do a good job at it. And they pay me for the cookies.
Then you're a professional cook.
Okay, but by that, could I go on like Iron Chef?
Well, you could certainly try.
That's
my point. There's an equal opportunity for everyone, isn't there? I've never said anything else. If you look at photography, I've been the one that said, you know, you can't get upset over the fact that the average guy buying an SLR is currently ripping the crap out of your market. You just find a market that you can work better in, and you can see where the detail and the quality is appreciated. I can get myself. I've got a hairdresser's at the bottom end of my street here, and I can go and get an orange crate, and I can sit outside the front and charge £5 for a haircut. None of those people are going to come back.
Is that how you got yours last week?
1998. Now, these boys are about separating the masses from their money, and then they'll be very rich for what's left of their lives, and then they're going to die in an awful, apparent way in the afterlife afterwards, I would suggest.
We just need them. We just need them to thank Missy for giving all the tips.
Your inspiration.
I keep waiting. I keep waiting. I mean, this gentleman posted a picture of his brand new shoes, or kicks, as he called them, on his Facebook page yesterday. And again, who talks about shoes all the bloody time?
Yeah, you're very British.
Very you British. Really are. You are British.
Very, very.
You had me there.
All right, thank you.
We couldn't tell.
I did a double take.
So moving on. Moving on. You didn't like the Cole Zeiss lens from last week, Ewan and Alex, so I found you two more to look at this week. New Sigma lenses this time. Not as expensive.
We had an email about the Carl Zeiss thing.
Okay.
And there was another point of view put forward, and some of the email I disagree with, but some of it I think is an important thing to... I still don't agree with the point of view, but it's another point of view. They were questioning over whether 15mm was super wide, and they were saying that people... We talked about putting this on a crop sensor or on a crop film camera, so you'd end up with a sensor that would make it 1.6 times greater. It's still at 20mm, which would still be pretty wide, but wouldn't be what I would describe as super wide. But then they said you kept coming back to the 2.8 aperture thing and the whole depth of field. That's not what it's about. My first thought was this was to allow low-light photography. Knowing Zeiss as I do, I bet it's a superb lens designed to have a great deal of correction so as to avoid distortions that are common to this focal length. I wondered if it was designed to shoot architectural interiors in low light, which is a highly specialised type of photography. Well, I've never heard of a lens being manufactured for something that specific. Plus the other thing, the distortions and that kind of stuff. F2.8 is irrelevant to quality of image in terms of the glass. You know, the glass is the glass. The glass doesn't change. It's a constant, regardless of your aperture. So if the glass is good quality, good picture, bad quality, bad picture. The 2.8 thing, if it's about getting light into it, all the people that I've seen that do architectural work, they don't rely on long exposures with F2.8. They'll apply as much light as possible and crank the apertures down to get detail and depth through the whole of the site, the room that they're looking at. 2.8, doesn't matter how long you expose it for, you're going to get very, very shallow depths of field, which I don't think would be what you'd use for architecture. I've never been an architectural photographer, so I could be wrong. Alex?
Okay, yeah. Well, just to give them the opportunity to write back and be rude about me again, I take loads of internal architectural photography. I don't very often do it on a digital camera. I do it on a 5x4 or 10x8 film camera. If I do it on digital, I would use the length of exposure to compensate. 2.8 is not a very sharp point of the lens. Mm. I would go down to f11, f13, something around there, get it as sharp as I possibly can, and if it ends up being a 5-second exposure on a tripod, then so be it.
Yeah, I don't see the point of that.
Well, no, I mean, I can understand the point that 2.8 is going to let in a lot more light, but... you're not going to be hand-holding a camera. You're not talking about anything which has got any moving objects whatsoever. All the customers I've got want the sharpest possible image I can give them, and the sharpest possible image is to find the sharpest possible part of the lens, whether I'm doing it on digital or on film, and exposing with the light sources that may be in it. Sometimes you don't light it because sometimes you need the softness of the shadows that are there. It's very, very hard to light a very big area with, you know, static lighting and not get hard shadows. So quite often I would use whatever ambient light was in there. And if I have to expose for 30 seconds, then I expose for 30 seconds. Mm. I don't allow the lens to dictate the shot.
Missy, what step is architectural photography covered in by the system? Is that what Mother Teresa did as like a hobby?
I don't think he should. I think it has more to do with weddings and people. I don't know that it covers buildings and things like that. I don't even think it covers lenses. But, you know, when in doubt, I just go back to the Mother Teresa step.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, right? I mean...
Mother Teresa solves everything.
It's kind of a blanket.
It's like bacon. It's like bacon. It's like nothing can't be improved food-wise, with just a little bit of bacon on the top, no?
Or by frying. I know. Oh. So she is a, that's, oh my, that's a good analogy there,
thank
Ewan.
You. Thank you. I see I'm learning. The system is affecting my life already.
It's a, it's making you a better person. You're already giving. You were giving before, and now you're giving more.
See, as it says, the system works.
I may have got this wrong.
I'm just saying, you might have to stop brewing that devil's tea, Ewan.
Getting back to Sigma lenses, then, eh?
Sigma lenses, yes. Sorry, they introduced two, a 19mm f2.8 EXDN and a 30mm f2.8, EXDN, retailing for 170 quid, and they're out now, which makes a change. Do these lenses float your boat? I know you guys haven't got Sony cameras, but are these worthwhile lenses?
Sigma. Oh, it is a Sony mount. Yeah, you're right. Mm. You know what? If you're looking for a lens, a 2.8 at 30mm or 2.8 at, what was it, 19mm, it's a good price. Mm. It's not a lens I'd necessarily need in my camera kit. Mm-hmm. But if you have need for one of these, it's a heck of a lot more reasonably priced than last week's lens. I mean, at 30mm at 2.8, I can, you know, I can see a point too. Still at the 19mm, I mean, I'm sure people out there have got a reason that they'd like one, but I haven't got one.
I'd agree. I mean, I think the 30mm is a good buy at 170. I think the only thing that you would say with low aperture lenses, if you want to manufacture something at f2.8, it's a measurement across the aperture that's available. That gets far easier to manufacture when you're talking about a lens which is short. When you're talking about a lens which is long, you're talking about refracting the light far more. Therefore, your lenses are going to be bigger. They're going to be higher quality glass, maintained through the whole of the element as you look through it. So the production costs on 2.8s that are short will be far less than. So that's why it's come out at 170. It's mm-hmm. about the right price. I think, you know, you'd probably pay, if it moves well and the autofocus is very snappy, I think this would be great. And it's as a fixed focal length as well, it's going to mean that you're going to lose a lot of the barreling problems that you get with variable focals, focal length. So it'd be good for portrait.
Good. What do you think of these lenses, Missy? 170 quid over here. So roughly translated, that's about $10,000, I think, at the moment.
You know what? I'm going to go back to the photo system, Carl. It's not about your gear. It's about you. Mm. So I really don't think it matters what lens you use. Whatever comes with your kit's good enough. Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. People are not going to be impressed by that. And it's all about impressing people.
And the 18 to 55 that you got with your body came free.
Exactly.
See, good and people don't charge.
That money, you just turn around and you go buy something that people will notice, like shoes. So that's my advice.
And of course, never forget that you can just borrow lenses from the new friends that you've made who are also photographers.
Exactly. Oh, see,
the system works.
The system. Carl, you're so wise.
I'm sitting rethinking my whole view on this.
I'm telling you, it's at first when you look at it, I think it's just overwhelming, but it's really the answer to a lot of life's problems. I kind of think, what would the system do? What would the Show of Tears do? And that kind of answers it for me. Not just in photography, but I'm kind of putting this out there for the rest of my life.
That's good. Well, we can all live up to that standard there.
Life changing.
It is.
It's so life changing. I'm going to go and buy a book on concrete laying.
Do you need friends for concrete laying?
Someone else to mix it would be quite nice.
You could borrow someone else's trowel and float.
Someone else's life has changed this week. Are the guys in Turkey that were counterfeiting Lexmark products, well, ink mainly? They got raided by Lexmark officials and the police. I wonder what that looked like.
What is counterfeit ink?
Counterfeit ink. So it's ink for like inkjet printers and stuff, but they've made it up themselves cheaply.
And then they stick it illegally is the point.
Yes, illegally.
They've cut it.
It's real. They're just not allowed to make it.
It's not official Lexmark stuff, but they're pretending it is.
Ah, Okay, got it.
Now, we mind you, ink seems to be so overpriced everywhere you go at the moment.
I read a thing the other week that ink is 4 times more expensive than gold per ounce.
Wow.
I think it's that. It might be more than 4, but it's like gold. Gold is 4. It is cheaper than ink by some by some magnitude.
Can you mine ink?
Well, now I think what you got to do is you got to go and get all your old school paper and you got to send it to in the post to one of those ink for cash sort of companies that you get these days. You know, because they strip the ink off the newsprint and they strip the ink off all the things you've ever written on, and then they send you back thousands of pounds in an envelope.
That you could use to pay to go on a photo system thing.
Well, you could also use it to pay to buy gold, because gold is so much cheaper than ink.
Which will fund your ink habit.
Exactly.
So it's a continuous circle.
Well, I mean,
I'm still a little bit confused as to why Sting was invading buildings in Turkey to check on how much ink they were producing. That is the police we were talking about.
It says there was a sting operation. I think that was what they meant. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Do you want to buy a bit of ink?
Yeah, mate.
But I mean, going back to the point of how expensive ink is, I tend, because I think I'm actually wrong in doing this, I tend to buy the right brand ink for the right machine, and that's probably because I don't use very much of it. But it's extraordinarily expensive.
Mm. It is.
No, it's just the fact that when you buy, I mean, I don't buy sort of £50 printers, but the printers I use, it's always, oh, if you don't use the right ink, it's going to mess up your printer. And because I use so little of it, I sort of go, well, you know, I only spend £50 every 3 months on ink, so it's not an issue. But if I was a high ink user, there would be no way I could afford to run, say, the Epson machine I run here with Epson ink, because it's ridiculous. For a lot of these machines, it costs you more to refill the tanks than it does to buy the machine in the first place.
Do you have ink problems, Missy?
No, but again, I just go back to the photo system where you just put everything on their program. I don't really have a need to print anything out anymore.
Why would you? Exactly.
I don't print anything out. And as far as ink being more than gold, you can't wear ink. Well, I guess you can under your skin.
I used to wear all the time at school where my pen leaked.
Well, that, yeah, but you know.
You were one of the special children.
Yeah, no, I don't really print out a lot of things. I think that the whole sting operation on the ink cartridges, when I read that link, I thought counterfeit ink. What do you put a little Sharpie on it and hold it up to the light to see if it's real or not? How are they going to know? I mean, counterfeit ink. I think that it's probably the same department that works on your bus gate thing there in London. I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but you know, I guess, you know, people have to stay busy. So more power to them.
I think if they went back on tour, they'd have other things to worry about.
Well, you know, and Ewan could join them with that rockin' haircut.
It's been a week. You got a week's growth now.
I got a week's growth. It's doing well, I guess. See.
So good. So good.
Moving on. A rumor regarding the Sony A99 coming up, reportedly to have 102 autofocus points, all of them cross-type. Now, I'm going to come and ask what cross-type is in a minute because I have no clue. So what does this mean? 102 focus points. Will I finally be able to take a picture without it being blurry?
If you put the focus point in the right place.
That's not it. The focus point on systems is basically you can get the camera to evaluate the focus by looking at all of the points, and it's an evaluative process, and it gets it wrong occasionally, so bad luck. Or you can specify which of those photo points you want to use. Now, 90% of the time, I would say that I would have my camera set on a center focus point. So I would want to point at what I want to expose against, and then I would part press, and then I'd frame image, and then I'd press the rest of the way. I don't get that this... I mean, the idea of this would be that you get a much more accurate picture of the scene that you're looking at, and then selecting the focus from that as an evaluative process. You'd never use this as a manual point. You'd never suggest that you'd pick one of 41 points for this. It's totally to compensate from the fact that people don't take pictures in focus, and it's helping them. Nothing more.
So it will help me.
I don't want to be that sharp. Who wants to be that sharp? Not me. I think a little blurry is okay. I think this is overkill. It's way too many points.
Too much perfectionism in photography.
Well, I mean, how much is too much? It's like when you go to buy a refrigerator and there's like 15 or 20 models. Come on. If they all do the same thing, they keep your food cold. Well, you know, I'm okay with around 50 of those little dots in my camera. I think, how many are in this one? 102. A whopping 102. Really? Do we need that? I say no. I think it's one of those things. It's kind of like Jurassic Park. People did it because they could. I don't think it's necessary. It's just kind of a waste of resources. I'd be okay with like 5.
Alex?
I'm not sure how to follow that. Okay, so you've got cross-type. Now, cross-type are superior in the fact that on a normal type, you have one vertical line, and that is what it reads either the it's got different ways of reading. You've got contrast and various other things. But what it does, on the better cameras, it sends out a signal, and it measures it from that signal. And what's this saying? It's got 102 separate signals being sent out. But with the cross type, what happens, you not only have vertical, you have horizontal. So it's almost like, you know, like with a GPS, the more points of reference you got, the more accurate it will be. Mm-hmm. So a cross point is a lot more accurate than just a vertical point because you've got two points of reference. It's a grid reference rather than a point reference. 102, I suppose what they're working on is if you're shooting something with one of those 2.8 lenses where, you know, your depth of field is so limited that you really need to pick the point where you want sharp because everything else is going to disappear rather quickly, then it's far more important to get the exact point you want to autofocus on sharp. But if you were stopping down to something, you know, in the middle of the lens, then 102 points wouldn't necessarily be so important. So this does matter. It is overkill, as Missy says, it really is overkill, but it does matter. I think in theory, the more points you've got, the faster the autofocus works as well. But, you know, again, it's there because they can do it. And good luck to them in the, you know, they've got to move the technology on. And this is a step to moving the technology on. It might not be that necessary, but it will feed down into lower end cameras eventually. And some of the lower end cameras that are really awful autofocus may improve because of the drip down effect of this technology.
And 102 autofocus points is really going to help you on the system.
No, there's only 51.
What? No, that 51 is in the D800 they're referring to.
No, but the focus points is if you're using the cross type, there's one in each direction.
Oh, I thought they were saying there's 102 cross-type points.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying in the article anyway.
Mm. And like, so you've got 204 points as opposed to 51 doubled. Right. I mean, maybe you might. I'm sure you're right. But the point is the same. It's an awful lot. It's a nice bit of technology, but again, I completely agree with Messi that it's possibly overkill. But
and if you spray with this, you won't need to have to pray too much.
Exactly.
Very good.
You're covering your spraying just that bit better.
Wouldn't it be great if all the little, you know, the little boxes in the camera when you look in and it tells you that it's focused? Wouldn't they be great if they were all just like little Mother Teresa's? You could determine which Mother Teresa was lit up and that's the one that was your focal area.
I think that's fantastic.
Smiley Mother Teresa's.
Well, yeah, I'd like it to wink. I'd like the one that's in focus to wink at you.
Or to bless you.
And the one that's out of focus, the scowl at you.
Oh, see, that would work for me.
Okay, I think you think we're coming along here. We're moving photography forward.
We could be adding some steps to the program.
Well, 102 of them at the moment.
102.
Little mothers, says Super Chicken in the chat room.
Little mother focuses.
Hey.
Hello.
And that applies to a lot of things I was thinking earlier as well.
Mm. Yeah. Very true.
Well, here's enough one for you to probably apply that term to. Nikon got its prices wrong this week. Apparently, they released their prices for their new range of cameras, the D4, the D800, D800E. And we'll just take the D4, for example. They priced it at $4,800. And then suddenly, well, oh, no, sorry, that's wrong. We mean $5,290.
Yeah, but see, I just want to take you to task on one thing. You said suddenly. No, they didn't suddenly. They waited till the D4, the D800, and D800E was the most pre-ordered camera they've ever had in history. Waited enough time for the pre-orders to get a real hype going, and then maybe a month and a half later, then realised that they needed to put the price up by £500. If they'd have done it on Monday and on Tuesday gone, oh, sorry, we've made a mistake, we need to correct it, I would have been a little bit more likely to believe the story. But when it's taken that long and they've enjoyed the amount of press coverage and the amount of excitement generated, not only by the quality of the cameras, but the when I saw the price of the D800, my first thought was, even if it's a mediocre camera, it's definitely worth this amount of money. The fact that it turned out to be an excellent camera made it even more of a bargain, and then they thought, you know what, people think this is so good, it's too good to be true. Well, let's make sure it isn't too good to be true. My problem is the amount of time it took them to adjust this so-called error. To me, it stinks.
They are saying, Nikon saying they will honour the original prices to retailers on all customers because, pre-ordered before March 24th.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, because they've got what they wanted. They got the buzz. They got the hype. They got everything. It's very Apple-esque, if you like. Mm-hmm. They got the buzz. I've never seen a buzz on a camera that I've seen on D800. I've never seen it. You know, even on the top-end cameras that people dream of and they're never likely to buy, this camera is in the price range of enthusiasts, not just professionals. And I think they'll probably be very angry with me saying this, but I feel it's very suspicious, and that's as far as I'm going to go legally, that it took them so long after the hype was built up to then realise that there'd been a mistake made. Maybe. Call me cynical if you like.
These are prices. These increases only affect the UK and Irish market. So, Ewan, do you reckon this is a case of another case of rip-off Britain?
I think there's a certain amount of conversion in this as well, which is got to be taken into account, changes in currency values and so on. But I think I'll disagree with Alex on a certain point here. He said, you know, this is very Apple-esque. Apple have never stood up, set a price, and then said, oh, we got it wrong, and changed the price afterwards. And the thing is, this is the point. We got a systems error. Systems don't set prices. People set prices. Someone sits with all of the figures in front of them and makes a choice over what the price is going to be. And when Tim Cook stands up on the stage and says, the new iPad is going to be $499, then that's because the person who sets prices at Apple has picked $499. And he's going to stand there and say, I promise you it's $499. There would never be a situation where we'd then say, I'm sorry, we had a computer error internally in the system, and actually I should have read $549.
Bull. No, can I just,
absolute
sorry,
crap.
Can I quickly come back? When I meant Apple-esque, I agree with you totally. Apple would set a price professionally, and that is the price. What I meant was the hype. They were going for the let's build up a hype before I launch Apple-esque.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing.
That's what I meant. I wasn't for a moment saying that Apple would ever do that with their pricing.
This is not a systems error. Systems do not set
that's my
prices.
Point.
This is a typing error on the press release. Fine. But I'm sorry, you don't type something wrong as 4899 to 5299. You type 4899 to 4999.
But it doesn't take 6 weeks to find it either.
Error my bottom.
Aye. There we go.
What do you reckon, Missy? Would they put up with this in the States over there?
No, I agree with you. And this was on purpose. And I think I'm just hoping that there was no internal error with the photo system, and the $1,500 will stay $1,500, that I'm not going to be so excited about this program and then find out, you know, 6 weeks later that, oh, it's supposed to be, you know, $2,100 or something like that. So I'm hoping, I'm just crossing my fingers and, you know, thinking happy thoughts that it is indeed $1,500. I hope that doesn't translate into my world at all.
Tom Merritt's in the chat room and he's just reminding me that Apple did do that. they gave me my first gen iPhone and then they changed the price after a month and gave me a $100 refund. So Alex
was
maybe
right. Is that
the
fastest correction you've ever received, Ewan?
It could be. It usually doesn't say, and you're incompetent. Thank you.
Well, I noticed the fact that Apple made a mistake and then benefited the customer, yeah, not the other way around. So Apple's mistake gave him $100. It didn't ask him for another £500.
Mm.
But I like to see Ewan being proved wrong, though. That was
Thank
worth
you,
every
Tom
moment.
Merritt.
Strange enough, the Canon 5D this week, Mark II, leapfrogged, on Flickr to become the most popular camera for a short time, overtaking the iPhone 4. However, the 4S is on its way up quickly on its heels. Is anyone surprised by this? I was surprised by this.
Don't believe it for a second.
Why is that?
Because of how many Canon 5D Mark IIs are there in the world
this
and how many iPhone 4s. What I reckon they could have done, because statistically you could easily be right, you could have the Canon 5D Mark II club all post all their pictures all in one go over a 2 minute space, and then you could take that 2 minute space statistically and said that the majority of pictures posted at a given time on Flickr were from a 5D Mark II. Saying that, you could have one individual uploading 50 shots off of that camera, and you could take that point in time and take that as a percentage of how many. I think there's an error somewhere.
I think there's a cock up, there's an EXIF data error. Definitely. I just find that an unbelievable statistic.
It said it hit 4,643. That was one person. That was people who had at least uploaded one photograph.
Right.
And I find that really tough.
Hmm? Any Missy, do you upload anything to Flickr?
I do upload to Flickr, but I upload from my iPhone. It's just easier, and I think that's cocked up too, because I do think that people with all those great apps out there for taking pictures that you can upload straight to a social media site like Facebook or Flickr, and I don't know. I don't see people walking around with I see them with iPhones. I don't see them with the professional DSLRs. Like in the mall and on vacation. So I'm not, you know what I'm doing? I'm blowing my wiener whistle on that one because I just don't buy it for a second.
Of course, they could all just be uploading their stuff to the system one.
Or maybe Canon have got a whole batch of things to upload to Flickr. And they flicked it on at a certain time of day and they uploaded 100,000 backed up images in one go or something.
They didn't realise they were offline.
Yeah, something. But here's a question, Ewan, because you know all about this EXIF data. The other day I did some fancy, silly shot, which I'd stuck on Flickr and various things. But what I did is I uploaded it onto my Aperture and then it went into my photo stream. And once it was in my photo stream, on my iPhone, I thought, oh, you know what? I should stick this on Flickr. So I actually took it on a Nikon and uploaded it via PhotoStream via my iPhone. What is that EXIF data going to say? Does it get corrupted or changed at any point within that whole process?
Well, it shouldn't, but the iPhone is famous for not applying the correct data to your EXIF. So the metadatas are all cocked up. And I mean, iPhone is... And the iPad is currently really screwed on the meta tags because they're not publishing anything consistently in applications. When you take the photo and shove it across the preview, it's different from Photoshop in terms of orientation, which is different from Keynote. It's all over the shop.
And can I just put a pet peeve in there? I take stuff with my iPhone and I upload to Instagram. And do you know how many people upload to Instagram and you know they did not take it on their iPhone?
I know, they're cheating.
They're cheaters. And I follow the cheaters, but they are. And so I kind of wonder the same thing with Flickr. How are you going to know? I mean, it's not like the photo system where everything's spread out for you and it's very easy to understand and you can see at a glance and you know everything's on the up and up. When I go into Instagram, there's no way to tell. And so I think the same is true with Flickr. There's no way, there's no way to qualify that. And I just think that's wrong. There should be a system that lets you know what was uploaded via a mobile phone and what was uploaded via a professional DSLR camera.
Mm-hmm. That does bring the point that we have mentioned before, because there was a move to make metadata legal, as in, unless you had a very good reason and the only thing you should be able to actually take off would be the GPS coordinates. There was a move to actually make it that it would be illegal to change or alter the metadata in any way for legal reasons. If you want to use a picture in court or something, you really need that data to be true. And you could possibly never prove that it was 100% true, but you could make it that people would be less willing to change it on the grounds that there would be a penalty for doing so. So maybe, I don't know, in this case, I'm not sure it's that important, but maybe this does bring an issue of maybe there's a point to make a worldwide standard for metadata and the fact that it's illegal to change it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter to make DSLR or iPhone. All I say is as long as the picture's good enough.
True. Absolutely.
There you go. One last thing, that you can upgrade your Leica. Leica, see? Not Leica this time, I've learnt. Leica MP9P to a white camera. The black one retails for approximately $8,000, but if you want the white one, it's only going to set you back a mere $32,000. That's pretty value for money, I think. Mind you, a bottle of Tippex might be cheaper.
I feel confident that this show does not have a listener that that has the required degree of lobotomy that's required to purchase a Leica at $32,000.
I mean, but someone will still phone up and complain, though.
Someone will buy it and someone will use it, but you will need a certain degree of insanity to buy a Leica at that value. It's Leicas are overpriced, full stop, and that is just woefully overpriced. I really hope that no one buys that. Don't even think about it. It's not even like a Ferrari thing where you can go, ooh, isn't it gorgeous? Because, you know, a Ferrari goes £160,000 faster than a Mini. Leicas don't take pictures that are £32,000 better than a Panasonic Lumix.
Yes, but someone posted on my Facebook page last week a Leica that was decorated with pink Hello Kitty emblems. The whole thing was blinged out in pink, and then it had the Hello Kitty face on it and the words Hello Kitty, and it was precious.
So, well, that's worth at least $40,000 then.
There you go. Yes.
You might be wrong. I think there is a market for the Hello Kitty Leica. I don't know so much the white one, because really, who wants to buy a white camera? Not this girl. But the pink one, I could certainly see myself using that. It's worthwhile.
Maybe it's like when you couldn't get a white iPhone 4, wasn't it? The iPhone 4? And it took them years and years and years and years to develop a white one because there was some problem with the heat and the plastic. So if you'd have got a one-off white iPhone 4 before they were actually able to mass produce them, then possibly that would be worth quite a lot of money. Wasn't there some young man in Hong Kong that devised one and stuck it on his the iPhone, and there was a bit of controversy about it?
Someone getting sued or something.
Yeah.
Right then, well, moving on to the questions this week. Hi guys, listening to Alex, I know he uses static lighting a lot for his setups. Is there a rig which the team would recommend as a starter kit for static lights? Thanks, love the show, stay loose, Darren Clark of Birmingham.
Yeah, I'll tell you a kit to use for a static light. Save yourself an absolute fortune and go down to a DIY store or a builder's merchant and buy two sets of builder's lights. They come with stands, they come with halogens, they come with heads. If you're using digital, then you're going to be correcting for colour anyway. You can get a set of two twin heads for probably £30, including the stand and everything. My little Lilliputs, and I've gone over to the Lilliputs because I'm getting too old to carry around red heads. The last set I bought cost me £800 and the bulbs cost me £25 a time. If I was only shooting digital, I wouldn't even bother with them. I'd go for the £30 option. Do not waste your money on buying expensive lights.
Tom, is he graduate?
Tom in the chat room says, we call them shop lights.
There you go. But do not waste your money, I beg of you.
Anything to add, Ewan?
No, I'm not a static light guy. I tend to use natural lighting that's available when I go places, and maybe I've got a set of builder's lights. I have got a set that I carry around with me periodically, but most of the time it's flash order for me. Oh.
And what about you, Missy? You got any static lights suggestions?
Okay, I don't even know what static lights are, but when it comes to photography, no. I always say no light at all unless it's the pop-up flash on your camera, the way Canon made them, or Nikon. I'm with Ewan. It has to be natural light. The more light, the better. God did not make static lights. He did make the sun. And so if you want to take great pictures, just do it, but do it during the golden hour between 12 and 2 when the light is the brightest. For the best results, much better than anything you could buy anywhere.
Again, I stand corrected.
Fantastic advice, yes.
As Pete in the chat room says, are static lights powered by static electricity?
There you go.
No.
Rub up against
them. They only go off very quickly.
Yeah.
Next question. Hi, guys. Love the show, and especially last week's. The layman's basics were brilliant. Just what us amateurs need. Listening to the questions on bullhead mounts, I struck me that if they are all so bad, why is there a market for them? Aren't there any good ones? Thanks, Malcolm Denton from Farnborough.
Don't want me to answer that, do you?
No, but Malcolm does.
All right, Malcolm. Yeah, there are better ones. I wouldn't say there's excellent ones. My problem with them is there really is no longevity to them. They wear out. Because of the way they work, the way they're designed, they wear out. For ease of use and for getting the exact angle you want without having to, when you're using a normal head, you first of all have to adjust the vertical, is it? No, the horizontal. So you've got your left and right swivel, then you lock that in. Then you've got your horizontal swivel, so you have to adjust that, and then you lock that in. If you have got a very expensive one, then you'll have a third swivel that will give you the other axis. In general, you actually have to loosen the screw on the camera and spin the camera to get that angle. Now, that can be really inconvenient if you're trying to do anything at any sort of speed. So your best bet is a ball head. It does work really well when they're new and for a short amount of time. But don't buy a ball head if you think that's going to be your long-term solution, because the long-term solution for having a ball head is to get another ball head, then another ball head, and it goes on forever. If you buy a good quality normal head, if you're not needing the speed of adjustment, that will last you forever. But a ball head will not last you forever, because the way it works purely on friction, and that friction tightness just disappears after a while.
Anything to add, Ewan?
Yeah, I think with ball heads, the thing you've got to realise is that you're creating an almost infinite sphere of movement around this hemisphere that the thing creates, and smooth, fluid movement and grip don't tend to work together. And that's the real problem of it, is you've got something that allows it to work like a ball and socket joint in a hip or a shoulder, you know. But when you want that to be nice and fluid, you also want it to then grip. Well, what you're getting is a set of clamps that are operated by a spring that clamp to the steel ball that's the center point. And very often, to keep the price down, the manufacturer's going to make that clamp out of plastic, and plastic gripping metal doesn't really tend to work, and the springs wear out and that kind of stuff. And even if you've got screws where you tighten it to it, you know, it's It doesn't work. They're not good things. They're quick and easy to use for a very short period of time, as Alex says, but then they're gone.
Mm-hmm. And Missy, how'd you get on with your ball heads, Missy?
We can't talk about that here on the show. I'll get banned by you. And is that a British term, ball head? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very British. We use it all the time, okay, about everything.
I feel that might be better discussed in private, Carl.
Okay. I shall see to that.
Carl and Missy sitting in the tree.
Sitting in the tree, PODCASTEING.
Yeah, quick, very quick, very good. And you even spelled it right.
I know. I've learnt. This show and all the other shows and the new shows coming to you on the British Tech Network would not be possible without our sponsor, UK2.net. They break up all our bandwidth cuts, and they allow us to keep coming to you every single week. If you wish to use anything from their site, just go to our... are we getting a new URL soon, Ewan?
We should be up and running this weekend on BritishTechNetwork.com.
Okay. If you go there, scroll down, you'll find the UK2.net graphic and just click through there. And anything you purchase, if you use the offer code BagelTech, you'll get a 15% discount. We still haven't changed these codes, we know. And if you use BagelTech DNS, they'll waive any DNS transfer charges.
Bagel
DNS.
Bagel DNS, yeah.
They do keep us, on the air, and you support us by supporting them. They're fantastic guys. So, that brings the show to an end. Ewan, where can we get hold of you?
I'm Ewan Rankin on Twitter and Bagel British Tech News on Twitter. Oh, dear me.
That's going to take some getting used to. The name. Alex, where can we get hold of you?
You can get me on Alex G. Fox on Twitter, or I'm probably going to be attending a seminar somewhere in America for $1,500 because I'm really worried that I'm not a very good photographer.
Well, I never wanted to say anything.
No, it's very kind of you to be quiet then.
And finally, Missy, where can we get hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter, Missy Mwack on Twitter, Facebook.com, always Mwack Attack, or my YouTube channel, which is also YouTube.com/Mwack Attack. And I just want you to know that I'm going to be recording this week's Bagel British Tech, Missy, and I'm going to be doing it Mary Poppins style, down to the clothing. So I hope everybody watches, and I hope I don't cock it up. I have to say that as much as I can before we leave, because I can't say that here.
You've left one off as well, Missy, by the way.
Twitter, Facebook?
No. One show coming next week.
A World Apart. It's the fabulous King Carl and Missy, and we have a show that in which we talk about the differences across the pond. And our first show is kind of bad because yours truly went to that place where she shouldn't have gone.
Target.
I didn't know it was a bad word. I didn't know. That's all I have to say. So when you all listen, remember, I didn't know until after.
Did you drop the W bomb?
No. You'll have to listen when it comes
out. I found out later and I turned all shades of red. So I fear this might become a thing. I hope it doesn't. I don't want to get banned, but
Did you talk about the fanny pack?
What?
The fanny pack.
No, we didn't. It was about food, the first episode, so...
Yeah, you need to cover bum and fanny, definitely.
Funny you should say that, but, you know. You definitely need to cover bum. Anyway, right. My name's Carl Madden. I'm Clause0101 on Twitter, if you really want to follow me, and I will be on, like Missy says, the World's Part with her next week, be released. Hope you enjoyed the show. First one, new network. Happy snapping, stay safe, and thanks for seeing you next week.